Blog Talk Radio.
I don't wanna be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't wanna be afraid. I don't wanna be afraid. And I don't wanna fear the storm just because I hear it roar.
Welcome to Personal Parts Radio. This is Olivia Walker, your host. Sorry about that first intro song. I was just going in and out. I have been off the air since 2017, so for almost 6 years, and I'm going to debrief everyone about that and why I was off the air for so long, but there's no bad news. It's all good news. So before I go into that, I want to play the song that I believe will bless you mightily. It's by Hope Darst. Her last name is spelled D-A-R-S-T. And the song is called Peace Be Still. I'll be right back.
I don't want to be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. And I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm. Be afraid, cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. No, I'm not gonna be afraid. And I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than this road. Oh, I'm not gonna fear the storm.
Let's say, rise up in me.
this song is very popular, so I hope you enjoyed it. I want to start off with a scripture. As I stated in my previous shows, this show is 100% led by the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, those are his gifts, and he gives to all believers willingly and freely. So I believe and know that and expect all my gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation in each and every one of my shows. You could always reach out to me by calling in. This number is static. It will never change. That number is 563-999-3744. I will be airing my show every other week. It may be once a month, but we are going to do every other week. And that's why I'll be airing my shows. And if you want more information about Personal Hearts Radio, visit our website at www.personalhearts.org. You can email me at Aaliyah, A-L-E-A, at personalhearts.org. Our number is 800-407-1733. And the scripture that I'm going to be reading for you today is from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things with you, and things that accompany salvation, so thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So during the 6 years, or almost 6 years, that I was on hiatus, I was helping out another ministry, and I was doing that actually from 2010, but it began to grow, and I started out in one position, and I began to do 7 to 8 other positions as God would lead me, as God would advance me and promote me. I was second in charge and command, actually, of the entire church. So God led me to cease from my radio show because I really didn't have the time to do my radio show, finish my doctoral degree, and also serve as the CFO and treasurer for a medium-sized church, and also assist the pastor. So when assisting a church, there are a lot of things that happen day-to-day because you're working with people overall. And when you work with people, that is another set that comes with its own set of hurrahs, congratulations, and also questions, and there could be problems. So I'm back. I am no longer, God led me out of that position, and it was in a way where the violent taketh. So that was, it was no fault of my own, just people, just being people. And God tells us, this has actually been the scripture that I have been living by, and I've memorized it. Let me find it for you, where it says, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, be good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. When you are a giver, and there's not a lot of people that are givers, and I believe I'm talking to many givers, or some, when you're a giver, takers can see you from afar, and it's unfortunate because givers are usually the ones that are taken advantage of. So I want to read to you in the King James Version. That's the version that I prefer, and I was just getting that for you. And that says, and Jesus says in the King James Version, he says, ye have heard Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Now, before I read this, I want to tell you about the power of the Word of God. God's Word says that His, let me look this, this scripture up for you too as well, and I've memorized it. He says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. For the Word of God is living and is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4, chapter 12. Whenever comes upon someone or someone is attacking you, you don't have to speak, because God has already fought your battle. Jesus Christ has already did every single thing on the cross. Do you not think when He was walking the earth as a man, what He had to endure? The devils knew. The Bible says the devils know that there is a God and they tremble. They knew that was the Son of God walking the earth. Do you not think that He was thrown with every temptation? It says it right there in the Bible. It says that God, that Jesus was tested with every temptation that is known to us. So if you think that you are unique, if you think that you are alone in your trials, you are not. What did Jesus do when the devil came to tempt Him? And the devil tempts you. He may tempt you through a relative, a close friend, which is usually the case, or someone that's in a drive-thru that's taking too long to order. What did Jesus do when the devil came upon Him and tempted Him and said, hey, if you're the Son of God, cast these stones and make these stones into bread? What did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Oh, all right. Well, let me try something else. That was it. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this cliff, because the Bible says that His angels will catch you. Reaching. And then the devil said, I will give you all the kingdom of the earth, which is the pride of life, which a lot of people have fell for. The devil said, I'll give you this Mercedes, the pride of life. The devil says, I'll give you this house, pride of life. The devil says, I'll give you that man or that woman as a spouse, pride of life, if you'll worship me. But what did Jesus do? Jesus did not look to the left or to the right. He said, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Power in the Word of God. It is living. It is active. And when you quote it, it is the only thing that, coupled with a holy life. Now, you say, Aaliyah, I say the Word of God, and how come nothing happens? Well, the Bible says in the Old Testament, Jesus, the Father God says, come, let us reason together. Sit down and evaluate your life. Sit down and take inventory of your soul. You know, we don't have a lot of time. When I first aired many years ago, you could think about building an empire or building a church that will take 10 years, or maybe retiring in the, you can start a job and say, hey, I can retire in 15 years, and you could think that far. But all the biblical prophecies have already been fulfilled. The great river Euphrates is literally dried up. And the Bible says when that has dried up, it's making way for the kings of the earth for that great battle, which the devil will lose. This great galactic battle between good and evil. already foretold, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast will be cast alive into the lake of fire. So don't fall for the schemes of the enemy. He is defeated. You as a Christian have power over the enemy. And in order for this word to work, Jesus wasn't out about going to parties and smoking and drinking. In other words, he was not compromising his spirit. He was not compromising the power that is needed when you quote the word of God. See, you just can't quote the word of God to the devil and then live the way you want, listen to what you want, speak what you want, do what you want. You have to have a lifestyle that is backed up, that will give you the power so that it will work. So let's say, I'm going to put this in perspective. Let's say you just bought a new car. Congratulations, many people do. And you've got the keys, you know, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But you didn't pay for it. You don't have the money to pay for it. So you don't have the right to use it. So you have the Word of God. You're reading the Word of God. But your lifestyle doesn't back it up where it can be abused to you. You have to have a lifestyle of holiness. And it just doesn't start with you not drinking or not smoking or not doing drugs. It starts with obedience. So when you're when you are in obedience to the Word of God, all that will follow. The your desires will naturally be replaced with the desires of the Father. And so you're saying, oh, I have to do all this work, this is all the work. No, it will come naturally to you because of your love for Him. Your love for Him will produce that. We're going to take a brief break right now, and I'm going to play a song for you by Kevin LaVar, and it's called What the Enemy Meant for Evil. It's a little bit short, a little over 3 minutes, so I'll be right back. I hope you enjoy it. Again, Kevin LaVar, What the Enemy Meant for Evil.
What the enemy meant for evil, he turned it around for my good, my good. What the enemy meant for evil, he turned it around for my good, my good.
What he meant to destroy me, you turned
Praise God. I hope you enjoyed that song. That was led by the Holy Spirit to play that song because it summarizes a lot of what people are going through. The warfare has been intensified since, I think, within the last 5 years because the drawing, or the coming, rather, of Jesus Christ is drawing near. Jesus Christ, as I stated before the break, is coming, and he's coming soon. I want all of you to take inventory of your souls because, as I stated, the prophecies that were needed, that were yet to be fulfilled have all been fulfilled. There's nothing else that needs to be fulfilled. Jesus could come during this radio show. He could come in the next, when I'm done, he can come in the next few minutes. The point is that you need to expect the coming of the Son of God and that you need to be ready for his coming. In order for you to be ready, you have to take inventory of your soul. You have to ask God, get into your prayer closet and ask him, Father, what do I need to do to make heaven? What do I need to do to make the rapture? What do I need to do to be with you? You have to be prepared because when Jesus comes, it's going to be at a time that we think not. The Bible says when Jesus comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. He's going to come at a time when you think not. You won't have time to repent. It will be like this. Oh, it'll be just that fast. Did you hear what I said? Before you can get the word out of your mouth, that's how fast it's going to be. You won't have time to say, God, forgive me. You won't have time to say, God, forgive me. In my spirit. You won't have time to do that. You have to do that now. You have to beg God to, well, you're a child. You don't have to beg God. But sometimes I feel like that. Feel unworthy, and where Jesus has made us worthy. But when you want God's forgiveness, sometimes you might have to cry, and that sometimes feels like you're begging, but you're crying and you're pleading out, you're reaching out to God and saying, please forgive me of my sins, cleanse me and wash me, make me new, Father, wash me, even though my sins be scarlet, they may be whiter than snow. And so you say it like this, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to repent of everything I've done wrong. I want to repent for breaking your heart. I want to repent for the things that I've done wrong, or my motives were wrong, or I've told a lie, or if I told anything that even resembles a lie. I want to repent for the things that I've did to other people. And the big one is, this is a big one. I say about 78% of people's sins and why they're not in heaven. Unforgiveness. We're going to touch on that, which will be the next topic of my show in a week. I do my shows every other week, so not this week, but next week. That's going to be the topic of my next show. It's going to be unforgiveness and what you can do about it, because that is number one is unbelief, but rejection, and what Jesus did on the cross, and that he died on the cross for our sins in the world and rose again and is alive right now, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession, making prayers for us. That is one of the one things that keeps people out of heaven is forgiveness. So my time is up. I have less than 3 minutes left in the show, and I do apologize. I will discuss in more detail of why I've been gone for almost six years, and it turned out for my good. Praise God. We're going to touch on loving your enemies, doing good to them that hate you, praying for those that persecute. So love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. I love all of you. I'm looking forward to discussing more with you, and I'm happy